Hey, we're live. Today I have a great guest, Tony Blauer. He is an absolute expert on knowing fear. But first, let me give a shout out to OSD, Outperform, Serve, and Develop. As you know, right now it's pretty tough for organizations to raise money. And a lot of these volunteer organizations, nonprofits like OSD, are having a really tough time. We still have an opportunity to donate to OSD. Xbox is still matching our donations up to $250,000. So please check out the link below or above or wherever I put it, and please support OSD. Tony, thanks a lot for coming in, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, a little jet lagged, as you know. just got home last night from, I was out teaching in the United Kingdom. We had a bunch of courses going on there. And then, Thursday, President Trump announced the travel ban. A lot of people didn't read that carefully. So I had all these text messages coming in at 3:30, or, 8 hours ahead from California. Oh my God, like, you're stuck there 30 days. And of course it was UK exempt, but I just heard today that starting Monday, they're shutting that off. I haven't verified that yet, but so I just get out of there. That was an interesting experience, on top of everything else going on.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted to jump out to you real quick and get you on the show is because if you don't fear fear or you don't know fear, everybody could fall into a trap. And with you being overseas, the first thing it hits is that weird, like as your article says, that butterfly effect.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And I'm sure all your listeners wanted to hear that and visualize that. If you direct message me, I'll send you. I videotaped the whole thing. So anyways, I got up to go to the can, and, my phone is lighting up, and I got, four messages, my kids, a couple of colleagues. Hey, did you hear? And they're forgetting that I'm way ahead. So I'm like, oh, shit. I look at that and immediately, and this is a significant thing, and I hope we can get some pretty deep on this, because there's two or three different reactions to what's going on right now. And some are people are like the meme people that are like, come on, chill out. You guys are, pussies, blah, blah, toilet paper memes and stuff like that. And they're funny. I reshare. Some of them are very funny. And then, but on the other end of the spectrum, there's people freaking out. And, having studied the science and psychology of fear since the 80s, I've discovered a whole bunch of things. And the people who say they have no fear or just, like they don't realize that their skill set is adapted. They're like the, Liam Neeson Taken version. And they don't realize that their life in military law enforcement, firefighter, emergency services, doctors, what have you, has helped them adapt and develop a kind of this stress inoculation to crisis management. The rest of us don't. I was recently on a podcast called Finding Mastery with Michael Gervais, who's one of the world's top sports psychologists. And we're talking about this. And I said, the acronym that I've been using since the 80s for fear is false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real. It's when you're visualizing a future event that involves your pain, your failure, your doom, your destruction. And it's a significant enough visual to move in your mind that it's debilitating you in the present, either distracting you, making you procrastinate, or in the worst case scenario, creating a fixation that turns into some sort of anxiety. And so, I've been lecturing on this around the world, from hospitals to military to law enforcement, for decades. And it's crazy how important it is right now. And you tie back to what happened to me, and I'm the guy that did like this research. And so it's super interesting to think about this. Is I wake up, I'm a guy who's like studied this stuff and created these infographics that help people, navigate this stuff. After 9/11, FedEx hired me to come in and design a program for their pilots, many of whom were former Marines, right? And we're teaching this here. It's like decision-making under duress. And why I preface that is because there are people that would assume that I would be immune to fear. And I've had people like come up to me after, let's say, a corporate gig that we do and go, hey, what's it like to have no fear? And I'm like, no, aren't you listening? I have fear. I need fear management. We all need fear management. Even the people who say they have zero fear, they don't understand this, but they are managing their fear at a different level. And it's just, at some point, it's semantics. But the great majority of us, I believe, would, it's like just having a map. Think about how, you know, just having a simple GPS in your hand, in your smartphone, reduces your fear of being late or getting lost, right? And so having a map in your mind can help you as well. And I preface all this just to say what, just so I can share honestly what happened to me, a guy who many people would think is like, hey, I'm doing air quotes here, an expert in fear management. I wake up, I'm tired, I'm groggy, I'm just getting over my jet lag. I've only been in the UK 5 days, we're 8 hours ahead. And what happens is I see this, hey, Trump announced all travel banned. And immediately my brain started firing this visualization of chaos, not getting on a flight, my kids freaking out, riots. And I just, like, I didn't think about those things. These are, this is what I want people to understand. These are unsolicited thoughts, right? They just start, this movie just starts generating. It happened so fast, Jason, that I felt my breathing go from my normal, you know, diaphragm breathing to vertical breathing. As soon as I felt that, I noticed that my physiology was starting to change. And I sat up really quickly in my bed and noticed that I was starting to break out in a sweat. And this all happened like in 20, 30 seconds. I recognized that and immediately knew what to do because I recognized that I was in the fear loop. And that's the whole idea of having the map, is that it helps cultivate self-awareness. That's the most important thing. I always thought, you know, when we do our practical classes, everyone talks about situational awareness. And I remind them that your situational awareness is directly and intrinsically connected to your self-awareness. In other words, that the more self-aware I am, the better my situational awareness is. I hope that makes sense. So you know, I obviously, I wasn't in any physical danger, like right there in my hotel room. So what I did is I said, okay, you're in the fear loop. I acknowledged where I was. And I said, where do you need to be? What do you need to be thinking? You got to strategize here. And so that's part of the protocol there, is cultivate better self-awareness, recognize what the difference is between the danger and the fear. And at that point, you can start to stress inoculate. And my nervous system, like, calmed down literally within seconds. I went on, I listened to the speech. I realized that all of the people that were trying to help me, people that cared about me, failed to read the third paragraph in the press release, you know, all travel except for the UK, right? As soon as I read the UK, okay. And then I started thinking, here's an interesting thing. As soon as I said except the UK, my brain immediately went to, this is the only breach point in the perimeter to get back to America. And there are no borders in Europe, right? So anybody, whether it's somebody coming from Italy or some other place, can get on a train, can get on a bus, can rent a car and start driving to Heathrow, Gatwick. So immediately I start going, oh shit, flights are gonna be jammed. Flights are, you know, on the phone with my wife, hey, call the airline, see if I can get back earlier, or I get stuck here if I can. You know, not the end of the world staying in a hotel for 30 days, but maybe it's 60 days, 90 days. And if there's no business, when do you run out of money? When do you run out of food? When do you run out of toilet paper, right? And all of these things are images that our brain creates. And so my metaphor for everyone listening to this is that you are the producer and you're the director and you're the writer. You're also the star of this movie in your mind. And since you're casting the movie with yourself in it, you can put yourself down as victim number one or superhero that saves the day. And that's what we need to do. We need to be the hero in our story. And this isn't like some like cute tattoo meme type thing. You know, a lot of people talk about this. It's the only way to make that shift, to recognize that the stimulus that gets put in our mind, triggered by the news, triggered by reading something, that next thought, when I went, like, so I went from, and this is so, it's such an interesting, like, this is, you know, just 24 hours old. So it's very fresh for me and visceral for me right now, Jason. And so, you know, I went from, oh, fuck, I'm stuck, physiology changing. And I wasn't thinking about me, would I be okay? I was thinking about my family. I was thinking about my friends. I was thinking about, you know, my mom, who's in her 80s, and being stuck there, not being able to do what I could. I had the adrenaline dump, corrected that when I got the new information. And then, unsolicited, I'm sitting there going, okay, I can get out of the UK. Wait a minute. I'm not going to be able to change my flight because everyone's going to try and get out through the UK. And we're going to have, you know, infected people who don't know they're infected trying to get out through the UK. And the airports are going to be a zoo and the hotel. And here's the thing, and this is the beautiful thing about false expectations appearing real. If you don't cultivate the self-awareness to recognize, I'm in the fear loop, and the fear loop isn't real, I'm perpetuating a lot of it. Yes, there's real potential danger there, but I need to conserve my energy and my focus to deal with what is actually happening, not what I'm imagining is going to happen. And so when I had the second visual of the airlines being full and everything like that, I got another adrenaline dump, right? So I got these two fear spikes literally within 30 minutes, recognized I was in the fear loop, and then said, I can't, we tried to reach the airlines. They had a voicemail on that said, we're not taking calls right now because it's just overwhelmed. Those are all the people freaking out, right? And I waited a day. I went back and taught. Our course was still on. I went back and taught. And that was, you know, that was cool. We had, you know, 50 police trainers in the course, massive class. And we're talking about it. We're talking about the mindset. And we're talking about this whole, how fear is contagious. And I reminded them that so is courage. And that you can't be brave if you're not afraid. I'll repeat that again because it's huge. You can't be brave if you're not afraid. And so my hope in our interview here, in our talk here, is that enough people listen to this and realize that you need to be brave. But the significant thing here, and the I guess the moral and the lesson here, is the next day I was able to get in touch with our travel agent, who was able to change and get me on a flight for Friday. I said to one of my colleagues, I'm going to call a hotel and see if I can get a hotel at Heathrow because I was about 2 hours away. And I said, and watch what I'm doing. I said, they're probably fucking sold out. Called up. Hey, can I get a room for tonight? Yes. Hey, is the hotel busy? Not at all, sir. Huh. Again, I could have perpetuated that movie. I could have driven 2 hours. Let's say I didn't reach them. Freaking out thinking, I'm not going to get a room. I'm not going to get a room. And then find out there's a room there. We're putting a wicked toll on our emotional psychological system by turning this, what starts off as a short movie in your mind, and we turn it into this long, long, you know, join us next week when Tony freaks out again, right? It was like, and it just keeps going and going. So the biggest thing here is I got there, the hotel was quiet, the airport was dead quiet, the flight was pretty full, but there was actually less stress to get home than one would imagine. Certainly less than I had imagined, which is the point of the story, is that, you know, things are as they are, and we need to stay present, not living in the past. Oh, last time this happened, I was screwed. Or in the future, what if this, what if this, what if this? But the only way to do that is to learn, how to read the fear spike and then make decisions from there. You know, this reminded me of Orson Welles in the 30s when he did War of the Worlds on the radio, and they didn't announce it because he's just an actor doing a show. And I think it was like 1938. I had pulled it up here. I just want to verify the date. Yeah, 1938, October 30th. And he does the War of the Worlds thing, saying that aliens had invaded New Jersey.
Yeah, I remember that.
People are freaking out. And here we are. And I want to throw this out there for some people to consume. The media has always manipulated our minds. The media has always manipulated our minds. If all news stations tomorrow broadcasted tomorrow, this is just a shitty flu. And we're sorry for saying deadly, and we're sorry for doing that. Everyone is okay. However, just like any other flu, if you have respiratory issues and autoimmune issues, you need to be careful, just like any other infection. This is just like any other infection. Had there not been the internet, like making viral, like the initial streets in China, right? Like, imagine this, like it's, I want people to realize that this is like a medical 9/11. When after 9/11, we all came together and we all got our shit together. And that can be the moral and the lesson here. This is the medical 9/11, but it's also, we need to step back. And I don't know how to do this. And I'm so glad that you called, because, you know, I told you we can't help people who can't reach people. And I wrote a couple of things that I tried not to exploit the virus. I was just trying to share like laterally thoughts on fear. I got a lot of people saying, hey, this really helped me today. Thank you. And I was grateful for that. But we need to share each other's info, but it can't be just, you know, cavalier. What are you guys freaking out about? You're being stupid, right? And even that, if that's right, that is not going to change the mind or the heart of somebody who is scared, whether they're at any place in that continuum of, yeah, I'm a little bit worried. Am I worried? Yeah, I'm worried, but I'm worried for the same reason. I wrote this in one of the articles. If I'm in a club, a crowded club, and someone says to me, watch this, I'm going to make everyone freak out. And I'm like, what do you mean watch this? And he screams, he's got a gun. And I see that it's like some asshole who's just drunk and just screamed it. But I know 100% he doesn't have a gun. The fact that there is no gun doesn't mean that we're all not in danger, right? Because that herd mentality is contagious. Fear is contagious. And now suddenly people are fucking running and, you know, like 10 people get trampled to death, but there wasn't a shot fired. So that's an interesting metaphor for people to ponder. You know, I've got a lot of friends who, I always tell this skydiving story. I don't know if I told it to you on our last talk, but it's significant for people out there, because a lot of people listening to your show are from the emergency services, first responder, law enforcement. And so there may be that kind of, I don't mean cavalier to put it down, but like that, what's everyone freaking out for? It doesn't matter what's everyone. Some people are freaking out because somebody yelled gun. And their fear is real. And we're not helping them at all by mocking them or making fun of them. As stupid as like it is, like hoarding toilet paper, right? Some of the memes are genius. But you've got to think, what is the cortisol level in that person? What is the fear level, and how contagious is that? What are they doing to their kids, to their grandkids, to their family? And that's really why I'm grateful that you called me. Hopefully,
So I'm glad you keep bringing that up, and it's absolutely true. Fear is contagious, and the other thing you said, so is courage. By getting the message out there, by telling people to, you know, kind of take a step back, reflect, have a plan, be able to adjust, because your plan's not going to work. I mean, it's just not, but part of it will, as long as it keeps you calm. Like you said before, you didn't know if you were going to be driving two and a half hours to an empty hotel or a booked up hotel. Your fear said it was going to be booked up. But what did you do? You took a step back. You called.
Right.
It's the same thing right now. Don't let that fear of unknowing really harm you. No fear. K-N-O-W.
Right.
So no way.
I have one of my shirts on. I grabbed this one. I don't know if people can see the bottom. I said, like, shit out. As I put it on, I went, oh, that's like, look at this jerk. He's got a shirt with, but it's ideas are peaceful and history is violent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the camera. There we go.
You know, ideals are peaceful and history is violent. And that's one thing I really wanted to have you on the show about, was to talk about exactly what you were. A lot of people, it's a time of uncertainty, and that is the big thing right there, uncertainty. It's like a medical 9/11, as you said. We weren't prepared for 9/11 as much as, you know, maybe there was a couple aspects were, but if you look at the 9/11 report, we're probably going to have a COVID-19 report after this to see where we, what lessons were learned.
Sure.
But now we know that there's going to be at least in an immediate future, you know, if we look at the operational tactical and strategic future, up till at least the tactical future, which is, you know, 60 to 120 days, we're going to have disruption of our life. Yeah. So now is when we don't let that fear take over, because that fear is absolutely contagious.
It's crazy, man. When you think about it, if you look at the numbers, you know, and, you know, as a father of three, you know, I talk to my kids and I'm like, hey, how are you guys doing with this? And they're very, and I'm, you know, super proud of me and my wife in the sense of, if I can take a little bit of credit, that, you know, my daughter's school just, you know, closed. She called the other day, you know, kids are freaking out and this and that, and that their anxiety is contagious. Fear is contagious. But, you know, I talk to them and I'm like, we're cool, Dad. Why is everyone freaking out? You know, isn't this, and they're doing their own research, right? And there's lots of evidence that, you know, the bird flu and the SARS, and I don't know if that was the same thing, or just the general, like, seasonal influenza has been more devastating than this. So the question is, like, why is this happening? And more of a conspiracy theorist, political type angle. Is it the, you know, follow the money type shit? And I don't want to get into that. And I'm not, well, you know, I stay in my lane as far as what this goes. But it's like I said earlier in our talk, if there hadn't been any media, or if the media got on and said, listen, you know, this has been amplified and embellished, and it's just another flu. And I hope that's all it is, right? That's what it seems to be. Yeah, that things would just change, like the pendulum would swing the other way. And if that's true, and this is the thing that I think talks like this try to inspire, critical thinking. Like, don't just make these assumptions, because, like, you know, I'm actually, I'll probably write it a little bit later today. Some of these ideas are another blog that's percolating in my mind. And this idea that many people have been getting their news from Facebook, right? I had three.
I got a laugh when you said that.
Dude, like, but here's the thing is, like, it's real. And then somebody goes, oh, this is fake news. Mm-hmm. And people don't know how to do research anymore. People don't know how to critically think. And it was, oh my God, I can't get home from the UK. I'm stuck here. If I didn't have any self-awareness and critical thinking skills at that moment, I would never have dug deeper and then went, okay, here's how I get out. You mentioned this before, is how do you get out of the fear loop? Is you keep moving. How do you keep moving? Is you start to create a plan. When we do our no fear workshops, we give people a map that shows, here's the scenario. A stimulus gets introduced too quickly. It triggers a fear spike. Any normal person will reactively activate a fear loop. And your fear loop is going to be this metaphysical trap, like quicksand, where you got to stay calm, pull yourself out. You can't start doing this, because that's how you're going to drown. And inside this metaphoric fear loop run your beliefs, your mindset, your skill set, your breathing skills, right? You know, how to calm yourself. And in there are some questions. When we're teaching the fear loop, we're teaching you, okay, what does it cost you if you don't fight back now? Is being emotional the thing that you want to choose right now? Or do you need to get strategic? How do you get strategic? We have this little door, a metaphoric door. We tell people, you got to ask yourself, is your challenge or threat, and go through that door. But the first thing that we tell people to do is immediately define, what is your goal? What is the action to move towards your goal? And what do you expect to see with the results? We call that GAR. And if you start with that, because it's like, it's a big, a lot of people get too technical right away. They go, I need to get here and do this and do that. And the more specific your immediate action plan is, the greater pressure you have on that specificity, and many things can go wrong there, right? It's I think you alluded to that, no plan survives first contact, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You want to have this. So what I did is I inserted in there, like, my goal was to get home safely. If I had said, I got to get on the next flight out. If I can't get on the next flight out, I'm fucked. Like, I create all this pressure. I I run to the airport, and now that flight's full, and I'm freaking out. I'm perpetuating this whole, you know, next thing I know, metaphorically, I'm like, I'm stealing all the toilet paper I can because of my mind has gone out of control.
Now, I'm glad you said that, because what is happening is, you know, you're falling into the fear trap, and you're putting out basic information. It doesn't have to be technical. And a lot of people, like you said, they want to get very technical about it. And what happens with that technical is it freaks you out even more, because you're like, if I don't do A, B, C, D, and E, I'm going to die. The world's going to die. Right. Sometimes you skip from A to D.
Have you heard my little expression on technical versus tactical?
No, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's don't confuse them. Don't confuse technical for tactical. Tactical is I got home. Technical is where I'm so focused on the minutiae, maybe I miss a window of opportunity. So you create your initial plan, folks, needs to be tactical. I need to get home. How am I going to do that? And then reverse engineer from there. What I discovered here, and like I said, if the report that was sent to me today that they're banning all flights starting Monday is true, like that window. So that was one of the kind of like whiteboarding sessions that I did. I emailed a bunch of good friends of mine. I said, hey, I'm out here. I got some big meetings. I'm finishing another course. And if this were you, would you come home? I said, I'm cool to stay. I'm already here. But if this travel ban changes, or if the whole fear energy, you know, escalates, and now we've got, you know, riots and panic, I'm going to be in a worse place. So it was really like, you know, whiteboarding.
Yeah. And I gotta interrupt you right there, because you brought up a good point, is you're not doing this alone. So many people feel like the weight of the world is on you. It is yours. And that is where that unbelievable emotion comes up. That's where you're like, I can't do this myself. But like you said, you reached out to your friends. And that's why I implore people. I'm like, make sure you have networks. Maybe you're building up with like-minded people or people that have like a stream of thought that maybe was going to help you. Don't feel like you have to do everything on yourself, on your own virtue.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And, it was interesting. And it was interesting also who I selected to call, because I messaged probably about 15 people all over the world. And I remember like seeing a name and then going, no, yes, no, yes. And I specifically messaged people who I knew had always in their business, in their life, whether they were a military or law enforcement friend or an entrepreneur, people who had always demonstrated critical thinking skills, right? And I want to circle back on this, because two things. One is, if 100% of your listeners are in the emergency services community, then they're probably going, yeah, it's a good interview. I like Blauer's shirt. I wonder if I could get it. But, you know, their husband, their wife, their kids, their aunt, they're the ones that might be suffering from fear, right? And so they need to share this talk with them. Just because you're, you know, already inoculated doesn't mean you don't know somebody and you can't pay that forward. You know, we need to reach people, because the people that are freaking out are the ones that need to hear this. And ironically, you know, your show, because your background, you know, we're talking to people who probably aren't freaking out, right? So this needs to go viral.
Yeah, but you brought up a good point before, is, you know, I'd say 85% of my Facebook friends and yours, the friends, aren't in a community of, you know, emergency responders, military vets, law enforcement. But that network reaches further than that.
Right.
And that's where, you know, you need to get these messages out there. There's plenty of time right now. Everybody's going to be home for a little while at least. Listen to, you know, learn. Find everything again to be knowledgeable on what is going on and not relying on social media.
Well, the biggest thing there is people can do the research. You know, I talked to like my 18-year-old daughter. Sweetie, you go, yeah, I'm okay. It's just a bad flu. Why is everyone freaking out? You know, of course it's dangerous. And, you know, and it's funny, I got home from my trip and I wish I filmed it because I was so excited to see my wife after, you know, we had a weather delay after being an 11-hour flight and then we're circling almost an hour. And I finally get off the plane and I like, I'm outside and I go to hug her and she's like, I'm like, she's doing this. Stay away. I go, baby. She goes, now you've been in Europe for a week, getting home, getting the sauna, getting the shower. And so she's not at all freaking out, but she's being careful, right? And it's okay to be careful. It's just very dangerous for you emotionally, psychologically to lose control and lose sight. So if there's a way, like, you know, what I hope this show inspires as a minimum is to create a little bit more self-awareness going, wow, acknowledge you're in the fear and you're in the fear loop. You're overthinking, which means you've created this movie in your mind that's playing this doomsday visual over and over again. But you need to recognize that that is your movie and you could walk out on the movie. You could ask for your money back, whatever metaphor you want. You realize that you're the director and you're the producer and you need to be, so what would the star do? The star would know, stop that movie. And it doesn't change. And this is the thing, the hardest thing about fear management is, just like me, been teaching it for decades, I still get fear spikes. If someone says, hey, did you hear this? Like immediately, depending on their tone and their body language, I know this is something bad. And I get a lot of people saying, you know, hey, when I wrote Courage is Courageous, I had a bunch of people on different posts saying, hey, so is calm. And I go, yeah, calm is courageous, but you need to be courageous to be calm. Someone who's like calm, like a cucumber in the face of danger, that's not how it started. So I don't want to try and be like a, you know, nitpicking here, but I need you to understand that if you're one of the calm people going, hey, be like me, be calm. You can't say that to a scared person. That doesn't translate.
No, that's like, hey, you know what? Be calm. And you're smacking them. It's just like, what was that movie? Airplane.
Yelling, relax. Like never in the history of the world has anyone relaxed when you said, Jason, relax. Mm-hmm. Tell me to relax. It always like,
well, add a little humor in there. You remember Airplane? Sure. Where the lady was freaking out and everybody was coming and smacking her. It's like, come on, you know, you just can't yell. You can't use, like, you know, anger and fear to make someone calm down.
We need to give people tools. And the simplest tool I can give you is just to remember this. There's no such thing as no fear, N-O fear, but there is a way to get to no fear, K-N-O-W. So that's right out of our fear management playbook. When you learn to use fear as a fuel, it can start to, in this case here, inspire you to do some research. Okay, you're going to, you know, limit your social contact. You're going to remember to wash your hands a lot more. You're going to cough or sneeze into your sleeve. You're going to practice better hygiene. But that's where it should stay. I mean, people should do this during the flu season, during common cold season, during anything, right? And so it's, and then hopefully when you recognize you're in the fear loop, you go, okay, I need to do some research. I can't just believe what's in the news. If anyone needs to be explained that we don't know if the fucking news is real ever, right? And so I don't care what network you listen to because people are just sharing. Somebody releases it and then everyone re-releases it. Listen, I'm not going to name names because these guys are people I highly respect and I would call them if I was going to be in the zombie, in the actual zombie apocalypse fighting. That's how much I respect these guys. But I had three of them share an article that was allegedly from a doctor and ways to test if you have the virus. And I read it and my intuition said this is bullshit because there was one test about like a breath hold test, which doing it, like I do multiple breathing protocols. And I tell you that if everyone out there, especially the people with a lot of fear, if you don't know how to do intentional breathing exercises and get control of your breathing, you need to learn that. You need to study how to breathe because unless you're in immediate physical danger when the fight is on and it's anaerobic, the rest of the time you can regulate your state and change your physiological system through some good breathing / meditation. And there's a lot of really good people out there. Check out my buddy, Brian McKenzie, Art of Breath. Check out Belisa Vranich. She just released a book called Breathing for Warriors. Wim Hof breathing is great. And There's one other guy, I just forgot his name. Great, great book. I'll remember it after we get off. But these are things that you can do. This is, again, critical thinking. You need to get control of yourself and then start thinking and use the internet. Don't believe, don't like, again, like so many of the people, and I'm just, this is including like my 80-year-old mother gets her news from Facebook, and 10-year-old kids get their news from Facebook. And I started to say this, never finished this, when they shared me this, this medical self-assessment thing, my intuition said, something's wrong here. And what I did was I messaged one of them. I said, have you verified this? And then 24 hours later, he sent me back an article saying this is a fake release, right? So even people who are super smart, who are in the technical, tactical community, are sharing fake news because they believe the source they got it from.
Yeah, sources. And that's where, like, yes, you know, back in the day, back in the day, people used to do investigative reporting before they put out something. They trust but verify. Right. But there's no verification anymore. It's like, right, who can get the scoop out there quicker?
Yeah.
So that's why, like you said before, is like, not only do you have to know your fear, K-N-O-W, but know your sources of information and take a step back before you spread that fear, that message.
Right. And listen, like, you know, when you don't do that and it's real, you absorb that metaphoric poison first, and then you're sharing with the people closest to you. But critical thinking, do the research, folks, and share that mindset, because that's how we calm people down. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. A buddy of mine, who's a business consultant and coach, wrote an article recently, published on LinkedIn, where he, and I forget what spawned it, but it was a few weeks ago, but he used the Liam Neeson Taken metaphor, the dad, like when his daughter called and she's hiding under the bed. He said, this generation, he said, most people, when they call you at a crisis, people are there going, everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's going to be work out. Yeah. Or they're on the other side and they're going, oh my God, this is the end of the world. And he said, you know, that the character and the line, you know, dad, oh my God, you know, I'm so scared. And he says, here's what's going to happen next. They're going to take you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, it was such a good point that we need to tell people, here's what you need to do. But it starts with you. It's not like, here's what the government's going to do for you. Here's what the medical, no. It starts with you. And you need, the most important thing is to be healthy. But I heard this on a LeBron James meditation presentation he did. I've never followed LeBron James ever before. I just like knew who he was. But I was blown away by how articulate this was and how deep it was. But, you know, the most important thing, he talked about this distinction between physical fitness and mental fitness, and I loved it, and I want to share that here, is everyone needs to get healthy, but the first place you need to get healthy is in your mind. And you can't get healthy in your mind if you're constantly running these horror movies, right? You need to learn how to control that projector in your mind. That's where it starts, because that's where critical thinking starts. That's where self-awareness starts.
No, that's absolutely correct. And that's kind of where our conversation stemmed from today was, you know, I did a quick bit on like maybe 20, 30 seconds on Instagram and everywhere else yesterday about the conversation I had with my son and what matters to him. And I'll recap that for everybody who hasn't heard it yet is he goes to me, goes, you know what? I thought this was going to be the best year ever. And this is an 11-year-old son. And you're thinking, he's going to say what? You know, you didn't get a brand new pair of shoes. He goes, no. What he told me was that this is the, you know, it started off as a great year, a new decade. And he goes, you know, first we had, you know, the Australia fires, Kobe died. He thought we're going to have World War III with Iran, and then he had the virus. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, man, you know, these things really suck to an 11-year-old kid. And I'm like, we need to portray ourselves, even if you're scared shitless, but you need to portray yourself as the stoic warrior. You could be a man, a woman, whatever. But if you're a parent, you need to be that stoic warrior. Deal with your fear on the inside. Have a plan. Be courageous. But just don't fall into it.
Jason, that's amazing that you talked to your kid about that, and kudos, you're a good dad. But I want to reframe what you said. Like Customato, a very, very, very famous boxing coach, he said the difference between the hero and the coward is what they do with their fear. And so in one of the things that I'm always sharing with people is I said, you fear is either this formidable, specter in the dark in your mind that's telling you what's going to happen, how it's not going to work out, how this is the end for whatever. It could be business, could be relationship, it could be health. And I tell people, you can use your fear as a fuel, and you could use it as this organic resource to drive you forward, or you could just fixate on the fear and perpetuate again, that movie. And I want to just correct one thing, and I hope you don't mind me using the word correct. If you're a parent and you're scared, or like re-listen to the story here, I was scared when I was in the UK, but I used my fear to get some information, to do some research, to create a plan. If I was cavalier about it, I'd say, whatever, I'm going to do my meetings, I'm going to do this, and gone about it like just, with blinders on moving forward.
Okay, I got to jump in.
Yeah.
What I mean is like, and that's where I can correct myself, is I don't mean like...
I know what you're saying, that it's contagious. You don't want...
It's the appearance.
Yeah.
So yeah. I could be freaking out on the inside, which, sometimes I am.
Right.
But I use it. And that's the thing though, it's the running around the room going, oh my God, what am I going to do? And
Right. No. And you don't want to create any type of trauma on your kid by showing them that you don't, have any sense of what the future is going to hold either. I come back I shared this earlier, and this is our medical 9/11, and the world can come together and go, okay, what can we do to better understand viruses? And what can we do better next time this happens so that, we don't have this, what I'm hoping is a complete overreaction because the media is out of control and propagating doomsday. But that's what the media does. They we don't have to spend any time on that. We know that they sell fear, and that's how they in business. I wish somebody legit could come up with just a good news network as opposed to a bad news network, right? And it was legit, and you go there for the real news.
That's where that's funny, because I fall back on podcasts, people with who I know who are experts in her field. I look for information outside of the general norm of the three letter.
Right.
Network.
But it's so hard, right? It's so hard. Yeah,
absolutely hard.
Because people are fundamentally a little bit lazy. I want to go somewhere. If the internet slows down, we're like, come on, man, what's going on? Refresh, and so a lot of people don't have time to go, okay, who's a legit source? And to get that, it'd be neat, but I hear you, man. Like I said, I got fake news from legit sources. People don't know. Yeah. Like, nothing's written well enough. You can't tell the fake between the fake Louis Vuitton and the real Louis Vuitton anymore. The fake,
I like that.
Fake shit's gotten so good.
It's good, man. I'm glad you came on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling me.
Yeah, man. And I'm like it. If you have anybody else that wants to talk, you want to jump back on, we're gonna have plenty of time to record conversations and get the message out there, man.
Right. Yeah. No. If you get any interesting questions, or if there's another opportunity, one of the things that I was messaging some good friends of mine is like, I've got decades of research on managing fear, and it's part of what my company does. And how can we help? What can we do?
Let's live stream it. Let's say, so if anybody out there listening, I'm going to have this episode out. Today is March 14th. If you are listening, feel free to DM me with messages, questions, or anything. Post some questions below in the comments. Tony's going to also have a copy of this video, so put some comments below. And Tony, if you're up to it, we could always do a live stream sometime later this week at night.
Everybody, let's definitely do that. And if you send me the file, I'll put it on my YouTube. I'll put it on my IGTV, and we'll get more people. Because the most important thing I want is, like, it's the people that are in the middle or on the far end of the survival spectrum freaking out that need to hear this. And the people that have already stress inoculated through either having a good mentor, a good coach, or their career, right? You know, they're looking at this going, you know, I saw a really good, I can't remember what it is. So I'm going to pull it up here on my phone. I just reshared it in my story. Where was it? Oh yeah, here it is. Come on. But I'm at the end here. Sorry, everybody.
No, that's one thing. While you're doing that, looking up for that, is like, everybody use your resources. If you want to provide information out there, tell Tony, tell me, jump on a show. We'll do whatever. The thing is, this should be almost like a post 9/11 where everybody gets together.
Right.
We work on getting through this.
Yeah. So what the meme was it was just somebody, it was actually from the police community, Thin Blue Line Spirituality, posted. I always screw up where the, if I take my finger off, it'll disappear because it's in the story. But it was a message: hey, sports teams in Hollywood, police departments, fire departments, and medical professionals didn't shut down 9/11. Know your hero status. This is true. And this is good. But again, what I want to do, and I'm going to work on an article today and try and post it today or tomorrow. But we need to stop cajoling people and figure out if this is truly, the medical equivalent of 9/11. We need to come together and fix it. We need to, find better remedies for flu, better ways to protect those people that are at high risk, better ways to communicate. The biggest lesson I hope we fucking learn is, like, we can't let the media have power that the media has right now. It's just ridiculous, you know?
Can't let them control our lives. We have to control our lives.
Yeah. And remember this, they're controlling our minds, and that's starting the movie, and our minds control our lives. The mind navigates the body.
Tony, we could find you on Facebook. We could find you on IG, Twitter, all over the world. You know, post some links below. And same thing with me. You could find me on Twitter, Insta, Facebook, Jason Piccolo.
Thanks, buddy. Be safe.
Thank you.